A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. Welcome to an all-new Hustlin' with Vivica A. Fox. Okay, darlings, we are going bigger and bolder. That's right. I'm your go-to girl for people, ideas, knowledge, inspiration, faith, love, truth, success, and of course, fun. Your hustle's going to get an upgrade with the most surprising, exciting, and fabulous guests from all walks of life. You're in good hands, darlings. Now, remember to subscribe and download to Hustlin' with Vivica A. Fox. Okay, I've got a treat for y'all today. That's right, darlings. A 6'4 drink of goodness. He's an Ivy League chemical engineer and an accomplished actor with a 25-year career in film and television. Please welcome to Hustlin' with Vivica A. Fox, Otto Osando. Hey, Otto.
How you doing, Vivica A? How you doing?
Love that you said that. Hey, Vivica A.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Welcome to Hustlin' with Vivica A. Fox. Now, listen here.
Thank you
here.
So much.
Y'all, I got to read some of these credits, okay? Because I could not memorize it. Because the man, as I said, has a 25-year career history in film and television. So I'm just going to give y'all a few of his credits, okay?
Proceed.
Jinx, I love that. You've worked with, oh my goodness, you've worked with Will Smith in Hitch, okay? You've also worked in Blood Diamond, Django Unchained, with my boy, Quentin Tarantino.
With your boy.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Okay. You are doing the thing. And then wait a minute, hold on. We've got some more. You've also worked with Hilary Swank in Netflix Away.
Oh my,
I mean, you've been working with all of the A-listers.
I have.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm a big fan. I just have to say one quick thing about you. I just need to put you on blast real quick. I'm a big fan of yours. And Kill Bill, speaking of Quentin Tarantino, is one of my favorite movies in the world. I saw that movie about 9 times in the theater. So I paid for it 9 times.
Oh, we thank you for them box office dollars, brother.
Yes, girl. You did your thing in that flick, and you and Uma going after it like that. I'm not blowing you up. I'm just saying one of my favorite scenes ever. I love that scene. So thank you.
You're welcome, darling. Now, let me tell you just a little bit of backstory about that scene, okay?
All right.
That was 6 months of training.
Woo!
When I'm telling you, like I did 95% of everything. When I'm telling you, I was covered in bruises. Every morning I would take an Epsom salt bath. So every morning I could count when the bruises would pop up. So the very last day, that fight scene, 4 days. We literally destroyed a house in Pasadena. We started at the door, went by the stereo thing into the front room, then over by the fireplace, then messed up my china that I threw on that whole case on her, then moved into the kitchen. Then I did that knife thing. Woo, 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 woo.
Yes.
I had a special booty light because he said, Vivica Fox, you was in booty call. Okay. So we got to have a special booty light for Vivica A. Fox's booty in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
So then I kicked her through the door. Then I did the thing on the thing. And then we ended up back in the living room. So it literally, we went in this wonderful, and that's what you love about working with Quentin. Like he knew exactly the choreography to take us through that scene. But anyway, that very last day, on day 4 of the fight scene, I was sitting in the bathtub. I counted 30 bruises.
Wow.
But I earned every one. I earned them all.
Girl, that I've done screen combat, stage combat before, and I wondered. I was like, "Damn, her stunt double must look just like her because I can't see it." But to know that you did a lot of that,
I did everything basically. The only thing I didn't do was when she kicked me over the thing and I crashed through the glass.
And I
wanted to try it.
Yeah.
I wanted to try it. They were like, Vivica, no, that's the one part of it. No, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And my stunt double, she cut her finger a little bit and got like four little bitty stitches. So, but that was okay. Yeah. But I just, don't you hate that as an actor when you can see the stunt double kind of take over? You know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, you should have did.
Yeah. 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 Every once in a while. But there's some things that I'm like, oh, he should be doing that. I'm like, nah, bro.
Look, I said that 15 years ago. Okay. Uh-huh. Now I would be like, go, girl, go. Come on, get the stuff double on in here. Get the stuff double on in here. I absolutely would. So anyway, enough about me. Let's get to you because this is what Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, my show, is all about, is a celebration of careers and to take people behind the scenes of people's career because people don't know what we go through to get to this place.
Right.
This moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So let's start. So you've been in the business for 25 years. Where are you from?
Yes. I'm from upstate New York. I was born in Schenectady, New York.
Really?
Yes. And then we moved down to New Rochelle. But my family is from West Africa. They're from Ghana. So
okay.
Mom and dad.
And your name, you have a very unique name. Tell us about your name.
My name, my full name is Ato Isilfi Brakatu Isando. Ato means Saturday born. Isilfi Brakatu is something like warrior or something like that. So like my mom and dad did me good. I was like, oh, warrior. All right, cool. That's me. That's me. Right.
Like, that's right. That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
Now, have you ever been to Africa, to your parents' country?
All the time. I've been back and forth all my life and they've moved about 30 years ago. They moved back. Once we got out of the house, they're like, all right, we're ghosts. They're going back to the house.
They went back to the motherland.
They went back. They lived there. They got a beautiful house. My brother got married a Ghanaian woman. They lived there. They got kids. So they're like doing the thing over there in Ghana. So I go over there at least once a year when I can.
Oh, so tell us now you've had a 25-year career. How did you always want to be an actor?
No, you know, I always loved movies and television. It's funny. My brother, who I just mentioned, is always like, of course you're an actor. You are always doing people's voices. You're always mimicking people. You're always doing your thing. Mm-hmm. But I went to school as a chemical engineer because I have that, you know, West African immigrant family. They're like, you know, all right, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be an engineer, or you're going to be a disgrace to the family. You know, like, right. You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
Thing, right? And so and that's a Gina Yashiri joke, but I love that thing. But I discovered acting on a goof when I was at school. I just did a random play that my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, but girlfriend at the time, dared me to do. And she was like, boy, you're going to do that play just because you want to. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, wow, this is what acting is? I had no idea. They were telling me how to do stage blocking and all of that. But once I got the little taste in my mouth, it just wouldn't leave me. And so finally, years later, I decided I'm going to take some classes and figure this out. So that's okay. What happened.
I've got to go back because I can't believe I missed this part. A chemical engineer?
Yes, ma'am.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Cornell University.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You just go and drop that. No, just. Well, where'd you go look? I miss Cornell, brother. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I went there and again, I always had this like, there was a part of me that always was artistic and, you know, it's always, everybody always says, well, you can do that on the side. Right. And so the practical thing is get a quote unquote real degree. So then you can get your job, buy your house, get married, have your kids, all that stuff. But the thing I wanted to figure out is like, who am I? Like, what do I want? What beyond outside my parents, outside my family, outside my friends, what makes me tick? Yeah. And the accident of finding acting was just something that just said, I just want to see if I can do it.
Yes.
And if not, I'll figure something else out. But like, just let me see if I can do it.
Now, see, that's what people got to understand about Black people. Black people that was raised that, oh, you going to get an education?
Yes.
Trust me, I snuck into acting too. And let me tell you, because I had to go to college because my mother was like, oh, you're not leaving my house without telling me what chapter you're going to next. So I went to college and I tried that, but always on the weekends, I would sneak up to L.A. because I was living in Huntington Beach. So I would always sneak up to L.A. and do modeling and go out and hang out with my friends. But acting kind of fell in my lap that I was used to read with a girlfriend of mine named Kelly Mint to her auditions. And she said, you know what? You're kind of good at this. You should give acting a try. And I was like, girl, whatever. I'm a model. I'm kind of tall, which you're tall too, right?
I'm 6'4".
Let's talk about the height thing real quick.
Yes.
Because, you know, when I first started acting, they would never let me wear heels.
Wow.
You, and I'm not a kid in heel kind of girl. I mean, I am now because knees is killing me. But but back in the day, oh, yes. I, the more platform and the higher I was like, they're going to come up to me. I am not going mm-hmm. down to them, right?
I feel you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're 6'4".
Yes. Right? Yeah.
How has that been for you? Has height ever been a problem?
Well, it's, you know, it kind of is. I know that there are roles that I've lost because, let's say, the person I'm going to be acting opposite mm-hmm. of, I'm way taller than, right? So that's one of the things. And then there's some things that I watch where I'm like, you know, being this tall, you're tall as well. You don't know you're tall until you're around short people. So
agreed.
Girl, I will watch something. I'll be like, I am the damn Jolly Green Giant. I cannot believe how big I am. You know what I mean? But there's a couple of things. What it is, I love when I see tall people, though. Great. The rare tall people, like I did a bunch with Tom Selleck. He's 6'4".
Yes, he is.
Yes, I did a series.
Will is tall. Yeah.
Will is tall. Will is tall. I was like, yes, Will is tall. Bobby Cannavale, him and I did a series called Vinyl on HBO for a season, and he's tall. So it was like, it's great when you're in front of somebody and you can like look in their eyes and act with them without looking down.
Oh, yes. Or can I tell you what used to happen to me when I first started? They would put them on the Apple boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, I just think for a man, like, that's a weird.
That's
kind of
hard.
Yeah. So you get it. You get it.
I do.
Now, I had to read a couple of things here because you recently posted on your high school yearbook, your aspirations of wanting to write a book, land on Mars. What was going on? Okay, from an author to an astronaut, you know, what was going on?
Yeah, you know, back in the day, I mean, when I was going to high school, you know, I was always trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And what luckily I have the parents who, yes, they're West African and they have like a set way of looking at things, but they're always like, look, you have to figure out who you are and what you want. We have our suggestions, but you know what? It's your life, right? And so I've always loved literature. I've always loved writing. I could write little things here and there. And I was always had a little facility for that. And also my geek science mind, I was like, one of the things I wanted to be was an astronaut. Now, let's go back to the tall thing. Once I found out that astronauts can't be that tall. And
why can't astronauts be that tall?
I guess because the space suit is really expensive. So every inch you add to that space suit is a lot. But listen, so high school was a long time ago. Okay. And then I did this show Away with Hilary Swank on Netflix, which is a journey to Mars, right? So I was, you know, I was kikiing with my friends from high school randomly. The show is out. We're talking about the show. And then I picked up my yearbook and started looking at everybody's picture. Ha ha, look at your picture. Ha ha, look at that shag you got. And then I got to me and I was like, oh, look at my thing. And then I looked and I was like, yo, I said land on Mars is my dream. And that's what happens in the show. So that's why I posted it. I was like, oh, the connection didn't land on real Mars, but I landed on, you know, Albuquerque
on the stage
Mars. Yes.
Right. So you did it. You went out
I did
of
it.
Place.
You know, it counts. It counts, you know.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, I want to talk to you about working with some of my favorite people. I mean, we have that in common as well. Mm-hmm. What was it like working with Will and Hitch?
Will, I've been so lucky with the people at that level, your level, people like that. Like, I haven't been around the people who, like, you have the bad reputation. So if you know, you worked with Will, obviously.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So for me, he is like everything you want him to be and think he is. He seems like just the most open, loving, generous dude. And somebody at that level, you think, well, he doesn't have time for me. I just have a little part on the show. But he was like, hey, what's up, boy? And then we were just talking. He wants my suggestions and stuff. And I was like, that he was an example for me just like, let's say, Meryl Streep was, and just like Hillary Swank just was, where if you have all of that and you still can be a down to earth person, you still can like look somebody in the eye and have that kind of respect and go, hey, I'm welcoming you into the show. Let's have some fun. Let's goof off. Let's do this. It's there's you know nothing why? Like that.
Because that brother was raised right.
That's right.
Right. With his mama and daddy. And let me tell you something. We call him Big Willie style, right?
Uh-huh.
Best parties. Will,
yes,
I've known Will. We did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I played the date from hell with him, right? And can I tell you, Will, from Fresh Prince to now Big Willie, whenever I see him, hey, girl, what's going on? Working with him, the most professional, most giving actor I've ever had the pleasure of working with. One of my all-time favorite co-stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then wait a minute. You dropped another big old name in there that just Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Yes.
What
yes.
What?
Meryl Streep. When I was doing theater, a lot more theater, I did Shakespeare in the Park with her, and I had a little role with her. It was one of my first big plays. I had a little part and I had scenes with her. And no, it's Meryl Streep. She is like one of the goats. Like she is like bona fide.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, what I loved about her, first one in the building, last one out, works hard. She still works like she just got out of Yale. She like you wouldn't know she has 12 Oscars and nominations and this and that. She still loves working, works, and is again like Will, the most generous, the most kind. I'll never forget. You know, we shared a dressing room with me and some of the cast members, and then she had a little dressing room, and I was alone in this little room, you know, getting ready for the rehearsal, and here knocking the door. Hey, come in. Meryl sticks her head in. I'm like, hey, Meryl Streep. And she's like, hey, Otto. Right. And I'm like, and she's like, what can I do for you? She's like, yeah, do you want to run lines? And I was like, yeah. So we go into her her room and we just run the lines. She goes, yeah, I love this scene. And yeah, it's really great working with you. And I'm inside, like I've worked with, you know, everybody, but I am inside. I'm like, oh my God. And so finally I couldn't resist it. And I was like, you're such a cool dude, Meryl. Oh my God, I called you dude. And she starts laughing, just hit me and just like, I'm okay. I would like love that woman to death. Man, Meryl was dope. Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go to Quentin Tarantino.
Quick
what was
QT.
Like working with QT?
He like you said, you know, it was funny getting the part and just meeting Quentin and being in the room with him. What was funny was we do the scene, we go through the scene a couple of times and I'm just sitting there with the casting director and he's like, okay, so when you get down to New Orleans, so you're going to have to like, you know, it's a big emotional scene. You're going to be crying and we'll be shooting that all day for about a week. So, you know, you're going to have to do this. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, did I get the part or is he just like hypothetical? So I'm like, yeah, you know, Mr. Tarantino, you know, if you give me the part, you know, I get down there, I'll put in my best. He's like, yeah, yeah. So I'll see you down there when you're down there in a few weeks, da 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 da. It's like, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, if you make the decision, give me the part, blah, 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 blah. And so he goes, he kind of looks at me, goes, he giggles, and then he goes, okay, I'll see you soon. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I leave the little room, and then the casting director comes out to me and she goes, she's like, oh, and I was like, did I get it? And she goes, are you stupid? You got it. And I was like, oh my God, stay on the road. I'm in LA. I couldn't even stay on the road. I had to, you know, pull over, text all my friends. Then we get down there. And what I love about QT, if the same with, I'm calling him QT like he's my boy.
I know
okay.
We can call him that. Yes,
okay.
Right.
So
our listeners out there, Quentin Tarantino. Oscar award winning director.
Yes.
Right.
QT. Yes. QT. Legend. Yes. So what I love about him is he's playing music. He's doing all this stuff. And what I loved was my role was like really, really just an emotional like roller coaster. I'm about to die. All this stuff. He's cracking jokes the whole time. But what I think it is for him is if he's hired you, he knows you can do the work.
Exactly.
He's just trying to ease you off a little bit so like you don't get so zoned and you can find different things in your performance.
Right.
I really so much appreciated that because it was such a high pressure moment. And I'm working with Leo's in the scene. Jamie Foxx is in the scene. Christoph Waltz is in the scene. Everybody is in that scene. And they're all looking at me. And I'm like, wow. But Quentin just made it all just go away. Everybody on that set was nice. But I really loved working with him. He was fantastic. Yeah.
He's definitely like him. Quentin Tarantino and I would say F. Gary Gray were definitely two of my most favorite directors. Because like you said, they know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere on the set is one of creativity.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not tense. Everyone feels like you're working on eggshells and this and the third. But when it comes time to when it's time to do it, do it. You know, but can 100. I tell you, my experience was like that with him too. He came over. I was living at this big old house and we auditioned. And then afterwards, when I did the audition twice, he was like, okay, so let's go have sushi or I'm hungry. And I was kind of like, did I get the part or you know what I mean? Right. So the whole night, like we went and had sushi, but then afterwards I was like, at the time I was married, I was like, did I get the part? I mean, my agent, did I, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you got the part. But I enjoyed work with him as well too. So now
so
let's move forward to another name and wonderful person that you've worked with that I would love to work with one day. Hilary Swank, another Oscar winner. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You're pulling out the receipts, brother, with your Oscars winners. Okay.
I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to get that Oscar shine. You know
what I
mean?
I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. Well, how did that come about? Tell me about that experience.
So I was working on another show called Tales from the Loop. And one of the producers was like, hey, I'm doing this big Mars thing with Hilary Swank. And I just like, Hilary Swank. That's, you know, if I could be in a show with her, I think she's amazing. Because, you know, quick story, when I was coming up in the acting, taking acting classes and learning what acting was for the first time, you know, you start to go out to see movies and you're watching it from a different perspective now. And so I'm watching movies like, ooh, what's acting? Let me go check out On the Waterfront with everybody, you know, all the, you know, all the Sidney Poitier.
You're like, I'm a thespian, you know, now, right?
Now I'm a thespian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Boys Don't Cry came out, that movie, her, that movie that made her who she is, that came out. And I watched that movie and, you know, movie's done, credits are rolling. They're coming in to clean the popcorn up. And I'm like, yo, I don't think I can act like, because what that lady just did, that was crazy, right? So then cut to 15 years later, I'm on set with her and she's like, hey, man, what are we going to get for lunch? Or what do you think about the scene? And I'm looking at her like, Hilary Swank, what you asking me for, right? But again, this lady is down to earth. You don't know she has two Oscars when she's walking in, but like Meryl, she first one in, last one out, knows what she wants. What I love about her is she's a great general. She leads the cast, us, but she doesn't do it with an iron fist. She's not like, she's not in a mood. If she's in her mood, it's her own business, right? But she leads by example. And it's like getting a master acting class, because she'll tell you what she's doing. I'll be like, yo, so Hilary, what's going on with that? Right. And she'd be like, well, this is how I approach this scene. And this is how I look the script and da, 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 da. She has no problem giving you the jewels of wisdom. Hilary Swank.
Mwah. The bomb. I love. Now, can I tell you that that for me as an actress, you know, because right now it's like I'm acting, producing, about to direct soon.
You hustle. Can we stop for a second? Girl, when do you rest? Because I'm like, what? Vivica, come on. But go ahead. Sorry.
I'm grateful for the opportunities.
I appreciate it.
To be very honest with you. And I don't mind doing the work. And so, you know, I'm a woman in my 50s. And for me to be having all of the opportunities that I'm having right now, that when normally they put women out to pasture, like you're not, you can't still get it no more. You ain't still got it. Psych, Vivica Fox does.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. I ain't new to the game. I'm true to the game. Okay.
We know this, we know.
Yeah. So I always make sure that I'm grateful. So I make sure, like you said, I'm the first one there, the last one to leave. I do the work. And I always like to make sure that when I am on a set, that my set is a happy set, because I don't feel that actors can feel productive, because sometimes you got to realize people are nervous to be with you. Like I did this movie recently, and the one guy, when it came time for his close-ups, he kept getting nervous. And I said, what's the matter? He goes, I can't believe I'm doing a scene with you. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I said, okay, let's relax. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. I said, do you want to run the lines just one time? Cut the cameras. Okay, let's just run it. Boom, let's do it. And we ran it. And he goes, okay, I'm over. He goes, I just grew up like admiring you. And I can't believe I'm across from you. And you're so proud. Yeah. I said, okay, now let's act now. Come on now. Come on now, because I got money is time and time is money. Time out. We got that one over with, so let's keep it moving. But it was just that we have to realize that sometimes people, their nerves come in. But yes. I always try to make sure everybody's comfortable so that after yes. that, he nailed it.
Yes.
So I'm happy to hear that two ladies that you worked with that mm-hmm. are Oscar winners were gracious. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because there's nothing worse when you hear, you know, because, you know, I done heard some horror stories and I done worked with some
nerves. Mm-hmm. Me too.
But you know, those people I'd like to learn from not to be that way.
Yes.
If it's my
yes.
turn.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So I'm glad to hear that.
It's and it's a wonderful thing because, again, being welcomed onto a set, especially, you know, the it's a Vivica A. Fox movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the reason this movie has been made is because she said, OK, I'm gonna do this movie. Right. And so everybody else is employed because of the decision that you've made. And when you are acting like I've come into your house and you're welcoming. OK, no problem. Sit on the couch. OK, here's where you start to feel comfortable enough to be able to work because she wants me here. And it only makes you better, right? Like if yes. I can't act in your scene, then you can't hold the whole scene up by yourself. The camera's got to come to me. So if I'm relaxed and I can work with you because I think, oh, she's human.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. So the people who do the opposite, I've never understood that one. I'm like, either. I don't.
Yeah.
Makes you look bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have that. So yeah. Now, let's move mm-hmm. on. Besides acting, you
yes.
host two, not one, but two. Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Look, Vivica ain't the only one hustling. Okay. Otto is two. So now
true.
Let's talk about these podcasts. One
yes.
is called Radio Zamunda.
Yes.
The dope shit where you. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Vivica just said yeah, the dope shit.
Dope
I love
shit.
It.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Where you and a co-host introduce each other to fellow artists and discuss their journeys. So mm-hmm. tell us about that and how that come about.
So, you know, my buddy Kwaku and I, we met on a set. He's a musician. We met on the set of Vinyl. And we just clicked instantly. We just became instant friends. And because we both love music, we both love movies, we were always putting one onto something that the other just saw. So it's like, oh, I just heard this great album. Have you heard this? Oh, let me check this out. Oh, boom. And we would talk about it all the time. And one time a friend overheard our conversations and said, hey, you should do a podcast about like just the albums and the movies that you like and why you like them and the artistry behind them. And then Kwaku was like, that's a good idea. But like, what if we brought people that the other person doesn't know? And then we introduce them in a long form sort of way, like just three friends sitting around a table and say, oh, this is my girl, Vivica, how you doing? Oh, what do you do, Vivica? Oh, I'm an actor. Oh, okay. How did you start that journey? And then it's just a free flowing conversation about how we got to the point that we are now, which I love the constellation of events. Like you just said, you were in California modeling, and then you were shooting up to LA, and then your girl said, hey, I think you're pretty good at that. That's fascinating to me. I always wonder, well, what would have happened if that girl wasn't like, oh, you're a great actress. You know what I mean? Maybe something else would have happened. So that sort of journey is what I very much appreciate. And
you know what? There's a movie called Sliding Doors. Have you heard that movie? It's with Gwyneth Paltrow. And it's about how, like, what if you went through a different door? What would have been that journey? Or, you know what I mean? Or if you made that other choice. So that trips me out sometimes as well, too. Because I like that about career and relationships sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That if I didn't do that, could it work out? Or am I glad I missed that bus and that food?
Exactly. Damn, man, Vivica, you should. Do you do comedy too? Because you are mad funny.
Do not be trying to give me another job, okay?
Okay, okay.
Okay, but the only thing I can tell you is that I think it surprises people because everybody just looks at the magazines or my love life or the roles that I played. Everybody just thinks I'm so serious and so unapproachable. And I love fun. I love laughing. I love life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I do.
It's beautiful.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about your other podcast. That was called Unrelated, where you and your childhood friend, Chris, and Chris happens to be white, y'all, which we love here. We got a little multicultural thing going on here, that you guys discuss race, pop culture, love, and your love for Ed Harris?
Yes.
Ed Harris? Why do you love Ed Harris so much?
Love Ed Harris, because Ed Harris is one of those actors that no matter what he's in, even if the movie is a dog, you know Ed Harris is not going to be bad. You know what I mean?
Oh, so yeah, like, true.
Every time I'm like, Ed Harris is a movie, I'm going to watch it. And so one time we were just talking and we just at the same time, I think we both mentioned Ed Harris as being a great actor that we love. So anyway, for him and I, like you said, he's a white guy, I'm a black guy. We both were born in Schenectady, New York, but we both had different experiences growing up. So we also are people who are very similar in our pursuits. We both love fantasy novels. We both love Dungeons and Dragons. We both love nerdy stuff, right? And so we lost touch when I moved away from Schenectady. And so years gone by and I'm like, where's my boy Chris? And so I looked him up on the internet and I found him and we hooked up and we did not skip a beat after 30 years. And so we were like, we always call each other. We're like, yeah, you're my brother from another mother. So we decided to make a podcast about the conversations about our journey through life, how people can feel related and similar, but have completely different circumstances based on race, based on where we live, based on life experiences. So it's funny. It's irreverent. We talk about real sort of serious racial issues, but we also, you know, talk about our love for Ed Harris. So it's like random, but kind of cool. Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, recent events that have been going on, I mean, how have you been doing during COVID?
Girl.
Uh-oh.
Well, I've been good. I'm somebody, I live alone in my apartment and I think I'm good alone, although I'm lonely. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not going crazy for being alone.
I live alone too. So I know exactly what you mean like that. Like I love my house and my own space, but I still need to socialize. I think that's like, you know, they just opened California back up the other day. Child, I was the first one in line at my little restaurant. Like, right, come on back and serve me. I'm back because I don't cook. I tell people this about me. I don't cook, darling, but I order fantastically, okay?
I love me some Vivica, boy.
No, because I've been on my own since I was like 17 years old, and I've always kind of like lived by myself and I've always worked more than anything else. So I wasn't working in the kitchen. I can't cook. Now, don't get me wrong, but when you live by yourself, you know, I just was like, it's just quicker and easier to order something, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Same way.
See? Yeah. Right. Because, I'd rather go get something to order, bring it home, and then look at a movie or read a script or something like that in the kitchen. Then I got to clean up. And then whatever I don't, I got to throw it away. Then that makes me mad because I feel like I wasted food. You know what I'm saying? Right. So we're not doing that. Yeah. No. So you did okay during COVID? Did you work during?
I did okay. I didn't work. I mean, I'm lucky that I've worked a lot, that I've, you know, built a little bit of, you know,
cushion,
RGS cushion and all that stuff. And I feel for me, it doesn't make sense for me to go out and work in the middle of a pandemic. It's better for the society and the world for me to stay my ass inside. Hopefully we get ahead of this. There's other people who have to go out and work. And so let's protect those people. And let me stay in. It drives me crazy that not more people are doing that. And I think that how long this has taken is because of that. You know what I mean? And so, And I think the thing about this is it's showing us what we have been taking for granted and how good we've had it for so long, right? Because I'm the same way with you. I live in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn. I love this neighborhood. I know everybody in the street. Everybody knows me. It's a neighborhood, the coffee shop. We just stop on the street and start talking. And so now that's been taken away and it's like, wow, look at all this beautiful life that we had that I was just taking for granted. Inviting my people over. I have my record collection. Hey, come over. Let's just listen to records and let's just chill. Now I can't do that. And it's like, when we get back, let me make sure I do not forget how lucky and fortunate I've been. You know what I mean?
Right. That you don't take that for granted.
Yes. Yes.
We've all seen the headlines in the news of how someone lost their life in an act of cold-blooded murder. And while it's sad and grabs your attention, most people go on with their day without giving it another thought. But have you ever stopped to think about the life of the person at the center of the news story? They were more than just a headline or a statistic. They were someone's loved one or friend.
I'm Mike Morford, and my podcast, The Murder of My Family, dives into some of those stories to help listeners get to know the person who was lost and how their death affected those closest to them. Listen to The Murder of My Family everywhere you listen to podcasts. There are well over 100 episodes to binge on now.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Now, let's talk about a couple of things, social issues, if you don't mind. Like, you know, because you seem like a deep brother. How are you about with like the Black Lives Matter movement and all of the things that our recent election and these crazy fools storming the Capitol? Man. You know, how did that make you feel as a Black man to watch the difference of how they deal with them and how they deal with us? Because, you know, we was peaceful protesting and still was getting blasted on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. One thing that I have been dealing with a lot is, I'm just going to be just frank, is a lot of contempt. Like just feeling just a lot of anger because now it's so clear the difference, as you pointed out.
Yes.
And I can't understand why some people can't see it, right? It's almost like us Black people are in an abusive relationship. I've never been in one, thankfully, but I've coached or not coached, but like been confided in about some abusive relationships with people in my life. And the abuser is always telling you how good you have it. And any violence against you is your fault.
Right.
I'm hitting you because it's you. You did this, you did this, you did that. You were selling cigarettes on the corner. That's why I'm beating you up.
Right.
You might have had a fake 20. That's why I got my knee on your neck. And
on and on.
Yes. Your boyfriend maybe wasn't the guy who we thought stole the money, but we felt endangered. So we started shooting and we accidentally killed Breonna Taylor.
Right.
You know, it was somehow her fault for sleeping in her own apartment, right? You know, and so like that's the thing that is driving me crazy. So the storming of the damn Capitol, I watched that stuff and there's no Black person that I know personally that was surprised.
Okay.
We were all like, man, the privilege of these people walking in there with their phones, with their recognized, they're not even wearing masks. They're not trying to hide. They walked in there.
Yes.
And so I don't know how they maintain at this point this charade anymore. It's clear, y'all, it is a different level of treatment that we're getting. And y'all either recognize it and it's on you to do it. It's not us Black people. We don't. It's you. You have to fix it now. So that's where I am about it.
Can I tell you, as ugly as what some recent events were, I'm glad they were exposed.
Me too.
Because, you know, for the longest time, you would be, oh, that doesn't really happen to y'all. You guys are overreacting. This and that. That was like crystal clear. Can't deny this no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I got another question for you. What has comparing your life to, say, your friend's life revealed to you about the world that we live in now?
As in like just like my friends in general,
like the difference, like you said, like what we just kind of went through that, you know, what did that open your eyes to that? It was like, now as a Black man, you got to be more careful or do we have to hold our elected officials more accountable for putting them in office? Cause that made me look at some people. Cause it made me look at some of them people that I'm like, wait a minute now, y'all not going to vote. And we paying y'all good salaries and y'all don't care about what's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I look at, I say, like I said before, it's like, you know, when I'm marching in a Black Lives rally, rally, right? I'm not screaming Black Lives Matter because I already know. I'm looking at my white brothers and sisters and be like, let's see how loud you scream this. If you scream this with some conviction, okay, I believe you, right? Yeah. And what are you guys going to do? What happened and maybe happened to you as well is when all this stuff started really piling up, especially last year, I was getting... Yeah. So all my, I have a lot of white friends and I call, there's a certain group of white friends that I say, here are the barbecue white friends. Like you can invite them to the barbecue. You can leave them alone with your uncle. You don't have to worry about
they're not coming to the barbecue deal.
Yes. Those people aren't coming to the barbecue. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's like, I got a lot of calls from the people who aren't invited to the barbecue, who wanted me to help them figure out what is the Black problem and what's going on and how does it feel to be a Black person, right? And I'm like, you've known me for 15, 16, 20 years, right? You're asking me this question now. And why are you worried about it now? Because it's not the conversations that I'm having. It's the conversations that you need to be having with your mother, with your father, with your uncle, who's the MAGA guy, all of that stuff, all of that silence that you've been doing, this is how it compounds. It's not me. If it was me, I hope I would do something about it.
Right.
But, you know, if we have to go out to the street and say that Black Lives Matter, right? It's like, what's his name? Che, the comedian, I forget his name, but he had a great Saturday Night Live bit where he's like, we're asking that Black Lives Matter, not Black Lives are better, not Black Lives are superior. Like you just have to care.
Oh, you're talking about the comedian. Who was this? Oh, you're right.
Black dude, Michael Che.
Yes.
Yeah. So like we are asking for Black Lives to matter, not Black Lives to be better, not Black Lives to be considered more. Just matter. Just like think about Black Lives for a second. And they're still mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're still mad. So I don't know.
What are your hopes for our country, for our future?
Well, I think you said it right. I think that the good thing is this has been exposed in so many ways. Even the uneven way that Black people are getting vaccinated, right? Before I got here, I was just looking at the COVID-19 thing for New York, and it's like only 10% of the eligible Black people in this block have been vaccinated.
Wow.
It's 70% for the white people, right? And so it's like even that is uneven. And I think all of that being widely exposed, I think gives us the chance that they can't turn away from it anymore. It's everywhere they look. And so I think that the hope is that the people in the power can't avoid it anymore. I don't want to get too political.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
But if you know what I'm saying, but like, I think the Republican Party needs to step aside because they're not helpful anymore. They're not interested in governing. There's a diversity of ideas within the Democrats that they can like figure out how to fight amongst themselves. But like right now it's go time, right? We don't have time for the people who believe in conspiracy theories now. It's go time right now. So that's my hope. It's like, the people who want to do the work now have the power to do the work, especially with the new administration. So hopefully they'll push that forward. So
Agreed. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed right with you. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to come a little bit toward the end. So I kind of got like a couple of like rapid fire questions for you, you know, because you're on Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, brother.
Yes.
All right. So if you put these, you know, can help us because I got a whole list of questions I want to get to you.
Yes.
How have you hustled to become who you are today?
Oh, I've lived my life and I've always known who I was and I've always striven to figure out who I was. And that's the most important thing to me.
All right. How do you balance life and all of the many jobs that are coming your way with the two podcasts, with your movies and all your creativity? How do you balance it all?
I self-care. I've learned to say no. Yep.
Wait, we got to say that for the people in the congregation. What's a beautiful word to learn? No.
Self-care and no.
No, because I had to learn that, you know, not to get away from your rapid fire, because you can't be everything to everybody without taking care of you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I like that. Self-care and no. Yep. Okay. What drives you?
Oh, I have a passion. You know, I love storytelling and I love learning how to do new things. So you see this guitar, that was one of the promises I made when I was a long time ago. I said, I've always wanted to learn how to play the guitar. No excuse. Go buy a guitar, figure out how to play it. So that learning how to do things drives me all the time.
I love that. What makes you happy?
Oh, man. See, happiness is understanding love. And understanding for me, what is love? It is wanting the people in your life that you love to thrive, even if it's without you. And so it's love without possession. It's love without, you know, objectifying the other person. It's, I want you, Vivica, to have a happy life. Can I help you with that? Even if it, like, we don't need to speak anymore. I get it, right? I want to be a benefit in other people's life. And when I am, it makes me happy. So that's for it. Yeah.
Okay. I like that, because to me, I'm at the happiest I've been in a long time. And I Wonderful. Tell everybody, it's when I learned, I had a couple seasons of shedding where I had to get rid of people who were just negative and not good for me. I tell people all the time, I said, look, are you going to stop dragging down my nipples? Okay. Trying to keep these buddies up here for me to stay happy. Okay. And I am going to be true to Vivica and what makes her happy. Is that yes. how you feel like you are right now, that you are being true to who you are?
100%. I'm very fortunate and I couldn't be happier. When my parents ask me, I say, I'm happy. It's amazing. So as long as I'm doing me, I'm happy.
I love it. I love it. Well, that leads us perfectly into today's hustle hack. Hashtag, you tell them who you are. Darlings, know that it is never too late to let go and for you to live your best life and live out your dreams. What ways can you express yourself and be creative that lets you be who you are? Okay. Don't let anyone tell you who you are. Figure it out and do it yourself and live your true life and your true experiences to the fullest. I have a saying, live, love, laugh. That's what life is all about. So I want to thank my wonderful, but can I tell you this? You got the best smile. Your smile radiates happiness. It does. Your smile just radiates in those eyes. I mean, you're just a wonderful man. So there's no wonder why sky is the limit for you, Otto. So I want you to tell our listeners out there, where can they find you?
My name is Otto Isando. You can find me on Twitter, Otto Isando, at Otto Isando on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Oh, and your podcast. Where can they find your podcast?
Oh, Radio Zamunda, at Radio Zamunda. That's on all the podcasts, Apple, Google, all that stuff. And the same thing with Unrelated, a podcast. So both of them can be found on all the podcast platforms. Listen, subscribe, do the whole thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Otto. You just gained a new fan today in Vivica Fox.
I do.
And I thank you so much for being on Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. All right. And all my fans out there, you can find your girl Vivica Fox on at Miss Vivica Fox on Twitter and Instagram at Miss V Fox. And we have a new Instagram at Stage 29 Podcast. And I am verified with my blue check. You got your blue check, brother?
I got my blue check too.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So, darlings, don't forget to subscribe, download, and listen to your girl Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Until next time, darlings, bye for now. The Hustling with Vivica A. Fox podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during the podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professional.